Welcome to WeTel Talks. WeTel is a community for developers, and WeTel Talks is a live audio stream. This is a recorded episode from the live stream. We invite inspiring techies from all over the world to meet, host talks, and discuss the latest in tech. My name is Charlotte Holman, and I'm the founder of WeTel. In this episode, we meet Cosette Wachtmeister, co-founder CEO of the impact startup Removement. She has a long career in being an agent for developers. She has listened to thousands of tech interviews and coached developers to get their dream job. Today, she will share her expert advice for nailing the tech interview. So nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so for us that don't know about you, can you tell us a bit about your background?
Sure. I have a background like from the beginning, from my studies. I have a background in behavioral sciences. And, during my studies, I started as a consultant manager assistant. And during that time, I interviewed a whole lot of people. And then as a consultant manager, it actually continued. And... I started my own company about 5 years ago, which in the gig economy. So I help mostly developers find different kinds of assignments around Stockholm with different clients. And during that time, I also interviewed a lot of people, but mostly I also went out with them to interviews with clients. So that's my like interview background and why I'm talking about this. Almost 2 years ago now, a year and 8 months ago, I also co-founded Removement, which I'm the CEO of, which is a marketplace for removing, capturing, and storing carbon from the atmosphere. So Sweden's only, actually, and first one for those methods, great. Like high-impact methods. Yeah, that's little about me.
Yeah, cool. And today's talk is going to be about how to nail the interview. As a developer. Yeah. And of course, you are an expert within this field. You founded the Tech Hub, where you were an agent, basically, for a lot of developers.
Yes.
So you said something that 85% of the people you interviewed was developers. So yeah. Not only interviewed, you were an agent to them.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a bit what you did there?
Well, we had different clients around Stockholm mostly. During the pandemic, it changed a little bit because of the remote situation. But we had clients in Stockholm that were in need of developers, say a front end, back end, full stack, maybe a cloud engineer or different. We had a few like test managers and project managers within tech, but mostly it was developers, definitely. And well, then we had, let's say they looked for a front-end developer with a, you know, a special skill in React or something, then we would go out in our network, which contained of consultancy firms or freelancers, and saw who could be a match. And then we'd meet them and interview them and everything, and then we'd match them with the client and go with them to the client for an interview there. So that was like the process of the whole thing.
Yeah. So how many do you think you interviewed?
Oh my God, like during all the years? Yeah. Or, oh my God. If I say a couple of thousand, it sounds a lot, but I wouldn't be surprised, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, there's 365 days in a year. Yes. You probably have interviews maybe once
for the last
or something like that. So
at least 12 years. So yeah, I think there's, I've done a lot of interviews. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And are we going to jump straight into what are your insights from interviewing all these
things? Well, I would say that my biggest insight is that there's a big difference between an interview for a consultancy or like for a gig and an interview if you want to get recruited and employed at a place. And the difference there, the biggest difference is like in a recruitment process, you actually get to do a lot of interviews and you get to do maybe tests and... You know, the company really gets to know you. With a gig, you maybe have 45 to 60 minutes to actually, you know, make an impression and see if there's someone they know they want to have for them. Maybe they have another interview and a test later, but I mean, you don't have a lot of time to show who you are and prove who you are. And also in recruitment process, you often get, you know, interviewed by a recruiter, someone who actually knows how to interview, how to get out your your great qualities and everything, but when you're at a gig thing, a gig interview, maybe it's like the head of development or the CTO or someone that really doesn't enjoy interviewing and maybe hasn't got the skills or the training for it. So often it's not the interview isn't as good, the quality isn't as high because of that. So that's the biggest difference, that there's a big difference between the two interviews. So my technique, you can use it in both, but it's actually specially like made for the gig, the gig interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And oh God, I've been to all types of interviews as a developer. I started off as a permanent, like a normal you know, junior developer.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started freelancing. I went to, you know, interviews myself. Then I also used agents,
mm-hmm.
and I had them also like coming with me, listening to what I was saying. I felt a bit, sometimes it was really like comforting to have someone there,
mm-hmm.
Because you guys, of course, want to work for the cause of the developer.
Definitely.
And like, what are some secret recipes for success?
I think it's more complicated than that. I don't think I can give you like a straight answer. Because, because I think that people go into an interview expecting something, and rarely it's not about answering the right questions or, you know, doing the right answers or making the right questions or whatever. It's more about like the most important thing of everything before going into an interview is know yourself. People go into an interview without really knowing themselves, and that kind of directly complicates things. And then you get questions like, how good are you at .NET? What kind of question is that? That's a very relative question. That's like one of the, I think that's a really, really bad question to get to know someone. But so I think like the first thing you should do is actually go through your CV. I don't care if it's like from the studies, what kind of projects did you do? What kind of challenges did you meet? What kind of frameworks, libraries, languages, etc. did you get in contact with? What kind of team did you work with? What was your role in the team? And just like study yourself, study what you've done. Same thing with your either employments or gigs and assignments. Study what you've done to actually know yourself. So when you're in an interview, you have the information that the interviewer wants. And based on that, you can actually build and prepare for an interview. So it doesn't really matter who's sitting in front of you. You can just like, I want to talk about this project, so I'm going to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know that they can ask you like, I can take an example. Well, how good at you are you at .NET? Well, I've worked with it for 4 years. The latest year, I worked with it in this project. We used it in this and that and that way. I was the one that was responsible for this in the team. We were four people. We had these roles, and we worked like with Agile with 2 week sprints. And it's been going really well. We did experience a lot of, you know, challenges with this and that, but we managed them with that and that. I see that you also use .NET. I see that you also use this framework. How come you chose that? Or how's that working out for you? We had a lot of challenges with that. So instead of like answering the question, answer what you want to answer and then give a question at the end. Because in that way, you actually start a conversation, because that's what we were after, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get to know each other, we want to converse. So when people do this, they actually get, you know, something back. Like, oh, yeah, we're using it there and there. Oh, we're also experiencing these challenges. What did you do to, you know, to solve them?
Yeah,
or And all of a sudden, you get to meet the person that you're going to work with. You don't get to meet the person you're meeting in an hour's interview. You meet the person that you'll have in your team in the future. So you're going to leave the interview with a great impression of both the interviewer and yourself, or you're going to know that this isn't right for me.
Mm.
You don't want to be like dishonest or be at a gig that or a job that you're not really suited for. It's not really good for anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I can jump in here and say exactly what I felt a lot,
mm-hmm.
Especially in my younger days, mm-hmm. so to speak. I mean, you go in there, you're very nervous, and maybe you need a job, mm-hmm. and you just want to sell yourself. Mm-hmm. And what I did, I know that I did this, but start to overselling myself. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I'm the best at this, I know all these things. And then they ask me like the simplest question, and I don't know the answer, and then I'm like, damn it. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to people that, you know, are very nervous, first of all, when they go into an interview, and they need a job, maybe because freelance jobs, it's not as easy to get as permanent jobs, because you have, it's a harder vetting process there. You have to know your shit.
And there are many more people on the market for that than maybe the recruitment or the permanent employments.
What would you say to
Well, first of all, I would say everyone's nervous. If I would go into an interview, I would be nervous too. So, I mean, to think that, you know, everyone's nervous. Just sometimes, believe me, the interviewer is also nervous. Mm-hmm. And I always like to like put a picture in the head that the other person is there because they are in dire need of someone, right? They're not putting all these money per hour because they're not in dire need. So they're going into the interview hoping that you're the one. If you studied the project beforehand, or the assignment or gig or whatever you want to call it, then you should be able to take out some things beforehand that's important for them and go home and study them and find things that, you know, align with the things they want. And don't be afraid to say, I don't know, I haven't done that. I think overselling oneself, I'm a kind of a person that go into that zone too if I feel a bit insecure, so no judgment here, but I think it just like creates a situation where you're maybe not yourself. So you're sitting in an interview, actually underselling yourself because you're not showing them who you are. So it's better to like even say, oh, I'm kind of nervous. I'm really excited about being here. And because that's also a funny thing actually within the gig thing, that consultants rarely say that I'm so happy to be here. I'm really excited. It would be great to get this gig, like you do when you're in a recruitment process. I don't know why, but it kind of never happens in these interviews. It's so weird. It's like you have to show that it's okay. I have so many opportunities here, so this is not my only one. I don't know what it is. It's just a guess. But if you do that, try to like combine your experience with the gig ahead, then you can be prepared for like when they ask you that small question, like. Say that they would ask me, give me a question. I think it's easier if you give me one.
Okay.
Sorry for putting you on the spot. I'd say it could be anything. I'm just going to show you a technique to do some.
Why do you want this gig?
That question you should always carry with you, and the answer to that, by the way. Good one, Charlotte. Very good one. Well, I want this gig because I think that it aligns with this and this and this that I've done before. I've also really wanted to get into these three techniques that I haven't like really worked with, but done like test projects on GitHub and stuff like that. And I did my own little, you know, app or web app or, you know, and I haven't really used them in a job, but I'm confident that I would actually be very good at them if I get the chance to learn. So like more talk about what you know and what you don't know. I think that's as important. But what's your take on things that you don't know? Like, are you a person like, no, I don't know that? Or are you a person that can say that I'm challenged by things I don't know? And it's important for me, for my gigs and my jobs, that I also have things that I don't already know, because I love to learn new things or whatever. So I think it's kind of, I'm not always obsessed with knowing the answer of things. Just like to say, I don't know, but it would be fun, you know, finding out. It's a more human thing. Yeah. No one can know everything.
And isn't it like an underlying thing that the person that is interviewing, they just want to know how it would, of course, you always want people that knows the skills, of course, and you mm-hmm. want the honest answer, like, how good is this person? But you can always give them a technical test, or you can always, look at their GitHub or something like that. But for me, it's like when I talk to people we're actually interviewing now for a gig that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I always think like, how easy would it be to work with this person? Like an underlying question I have in the back of my head. And like all the other questions is just like a disguise for that I just want to know, could we work together?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, by not doing like Q&As too much, you actually get more of a conversation, and the conversation often gives you a hint on how it is to work with people. But I always think that the team questions are really important for both sides. So if you are to be interviewed, you should really prepare, like, what kind of teams have I worked with? How did we work? What was my role in the team? How did I handle that role? How did I like that role? What's the positive and negative with being in a team? What have I learned from being in a team? And that's like the thing that you should end everything you talk about. It's like, what's my takeaway? What did I learn? How can I use it with you guys? Today I'm probably going to learn how far I should be from the microphone.
Mm-hmm. Me too, actually.
Yeah. So it's just like, how was it today? Yeah, it was great. I did this and that. And I was a little warm because it's kind of warm in here. But I really, really... learn how to handle the microphone from afar or short. It's just a silly example. But, I mean, you should end things with what have you learned, because that's why you're there, like the experience that you come with. So I always advise people to be very concrete. So if they ask you, what you can say by yourself, like what you're most proud of, Maybe what you're most proud of is actually a bug or something that came up in the system, and your team, you really worked hard to solve that together. And like, what was your take? How are your thoughts? What do you take away from that? How can we, how can we use that in our project? So to not be afraid to almost come with advice, even though you're a junior person, because you can always advise on your experience. It doesn't mean that you're senior in other areas, but don't be afraid to be senior within yourself and what you've done. So this whole junior thing, fine. I'm not saying that experience isn't very important. Of course it is. But doesn't mean that you have to like undersell what you've done. You can still like, yeah, I did this project for a year. I've still worked with exactly this for a year. Sometimes people are so hung up on years, and the problem is that maybe you've done a lot of things for 10 years, but you haven't really done exactly what you're going to do here. So sure, you can find ways around and you're experienced enough to, but what is it? I mean, maybe a junior person with 2 years of exactly this can do it as well or better. So focus on yourself, focus on what you've done, learn what you've done, and always get what you want across. So I'm going to try to give a concrete example, as I think you should do in every interview. I'm going to get coffee into the conversation, and you're going to ask me anything. Ask me anything in the world, and I'm going to get coffee into the conversation. Don't ask anything about coffee. Ask me anything you want.
So what are you most proud of in your career?
Oh, wow, that was a big question. I'm actually proud of being able to not conform to what people wanted me to do and start my own business. That's one of the things that I'm really, really proud of. And as an immigrant and a woman, and you have a lot of odds against you, but I kind of like when odds are against me. But I still wouldn't handle it if I wouldn't have my cup of coffee in the morning, because without that, I don't think starting a business would even be possible.
I completely agree with you.
Right? It's just like a way to, if you have your mind set on what you want to talk about, get it in there. If you know that this project that you did here and the things that you used during that project were really good, and you get a person in front of you that like asks you, have you worked in teams? Have you worked in a team? Yes. Mm-hmm. Good. And because this happens, I mean, this happens a lot during interviews, that you get a question, you answer with a word, and then that's it. No one keeps, digging. And it doesn't really matter. So have you worked in a team? Yes, I have. We were in this and this and that team. And one of the teams I worked with, we worked with this project. And this project, we did this and that and that. So it's like the other person, it's awesome if it's a person that's good at interviewing and wants to spark a conversation and everything. But if it's not, still do your thing.
Yeah, and I mean, this reminds me so much about sales meetings.
It is actually. It is a very, I'm you know, as everyone else with own companies, a salesperson too.
Yeah.
At core.
So I learned sales like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was completely new to me. And we had a great salesperson on the team. And he was like, but you need to listen to the other person. You can't just talk about yourself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, that's the thing. So, and I suppose, you know, same thing with the consultants, because you are selling your product or
mm-hmm.
your services.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in one way, it must be such a big difference being a consultant from being a permanent, but I'm thinking it's kind mm-hmm. of the same either way, because as they say, everything mm-hmm. is sales, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. I think that the biggest difference is that during a gig interview, the responsibility lies much more with yourself to actually, you know, nail the interview. In a recruitment or permanent employment interview, you have recruiters talking to you. They have like this question battery. They have this like structured way of asking you things. They do both soft and hard competencies, or I don't know if they're called hard in English. Now when I say it, it sounds weird. But so it's like, I think that's the big difference. While during the gig interview, you're much more responsible for it actually going well. Because as I said, maybe the person in front of you most often is not a recruiter. I've actually never met someone who's a recruiter that takes these interviews. They can still like do recruitment at the company, but they're not actually recruiters. While at, like, I don't know, the most tech companies I know, they would never take one in without having a recruiter or talent acquisition or whatever. Different companies have different words for them, but and titles. But they would definitely like take that person forward. But here, and it's weird because some gigs are 3 years, as long as like the normal employment now. So, I mean,
longer, I would say.
Yeah, even longer, and that's kind of a, that's also like we shouldn't get into that because that would take a lot of time. But it's also one of the fundamental things that are wrong with the business, that everything's so fast that quality is set aside. Even though we talk a lot about how expensive it is to recruit the wrong person, but it is super expensive to recruit, or whatever we're gonna call it, a gig person too. Because a gig person costs between 200 and 250,000 a month for a company, or 150, 250, depending on the price per hour. But, and then you teach them the ways and everything, and then maybe you paid $500,000 or $1 million before you even find out that, oh, and then you have a month's, or, you know, normally a month on the contract to finish the contract. And you know, so maybe this is also, if someone out there is listening that recruits people for gig economies, like put more effort in to get to know the person and see who they are and what they know, and not just, don't just take in people that are exactly like the ones that are already there. Try to get perspective on shit. Sorry, I said shit. Yeah.
I think you can say shit.
Yeah, I think so too, right? I just want to address one thing, because this is the most common thing that people get at a gig interview, and it's the first question. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? And everyone kind of hates
you
that question.
You got that question in the beginning.
Yeah, I did. And everybody kind of hates that question, but I say embrace it and make it yours. Like, also there, do your due diligence. Maybe do like a chronologic. Say that you have three things that you want to tell about yourself. You want to tell them why you studied what you studied, why you chose to work with a certain language or framework or cloud service, or why you even, like, you could start with... I started programming when I was 8 years old. I didn't. I'm just making things up.
Uh-huh.
I started programming. I did not start programming when I was 8. But I did start selling when I was 10, though. So I started programming when I was 8 years old. My dad had gotten, like, a leftover big computer from his work, and I started typing ones and zeros, or, you know, whatever. You can start like that. And I think that's where my passion for you know, software development began. After that, I left it for a few years, or I continued doing it. I made the small game, and then it was, like, very natural for me to choose this course or this education, or I chose another education, and then realized, like, this was not right for me. I wanted to do this, and then I got my first real development job. So like, be personal, and also try to get your strengths in there. So when you say, and then I took this course, and I actually learned about myself that I have an easy time learning things. So I really like that, to learn new things, and, you know, so you get your strengths in there, but have, like, a small story prepared, not word by word, of course, but, like, do a bit of a structured due diligence thing before. Prepare yourself by having a small, because a lot of people freeze when they say, tell me a little about yourself. They freeze because it's like, what should I say? What does that person want me to talk about here? I have no idea. So prepare a little bit about yourself and make it yours. Like, this is your time. This is your opportunity to say exactly what you want, because they haven't put any restraints on you. Tell me a little. Yeah, sure. Or you can do, like, I love sailing. I don't either. I think it's okay, but I'm just like doing examples. I love sailing, and sailing is for me this and this and that. And through sailing, I've learned so much about that and that, that that's actually something that reflects on me when I work, because I'm very good at this, or I enjoy doing this. And, you know, you can just, like, tell a personal story about something. And I can guarantee you that when you leave there, even if there are 10 other consultants doing an interview, they will remember you.
Yeah, everyone loves a good story.
Everyone loves a good story, exactly. You're definitely right. So do a bit more story-based. Tell the story about how you managed to deal with a bug, or how you learned a new language, or how you, you know, tell stories.
Yeah, and so developers, maybe they're not known for liking sales, which this is. It is kind of like a sales meeting. Mm-hmm. So for a person that really does not like sales, do you have some, like, tricks that are, like, easy tricks?
Yeah.
That, okay, this little tiny trick can make, you said about the story.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something else that they can think about when they're selling themselves?
I'd say
they don't feel comfortable, maybe.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean, even a regular person can find it very uncomfortable to talk about these things. So, but I would say, don't focus so much on selling. Just tell it like it is. So, like I said, if you get the question, how good are you at Asher or something like that, instead of actually answering that question, because I know that that's difficult too sometimes, to say I'm very good at that, and also it's very relative, of course. Then just the story, like, pops up by itself if you just exactly tell it like it is. Like, I've done it for 5 years. I've done it in this and this and this company. I've produced that and that and that. I used it with this framework. I used it with this cloud service.
Yeah.
You don't have to sell anything, like, per se, but just tell what you've done.
Exactly.
That's the exact, just, like, be fact driven.
I wish I knew that 5 years ago, you know, because I was studying for interviews when I had a lot of interviews, and then I was studying all these, like, theoretical things so I could say them at the interview. So they ask different questions, like common questions, like, what is MVP? What is this and that? What is this and that? So you have to.
Why is it important, like, to even know that? You have Google.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Like, ask some real questions. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But then maybe, like, and then I try to answer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I've never used it for real life. You know, no one has, maybe, or whatever. So first of all, maybe the question is not so good.
No.
But maybe a good answer would be like, well, I haven't used it myself during my 5 years of coding, but I have read about it. It's supposed to be this and this and that, but I haven't used it. Well, maybe that would have been. But
I would say nailed it.
Yeah. But instead, I was rambling on. I was like, I was like some sort of like book or something that I was like, this word means this and this, and like that you're some sort of like student that has read all the books, and theoretically you have read about it, but you have never used it.
And I think sometimes maybe you forget that there's a human sitting on the other side, just a human just like you, who goes up in the morning and hopefully takes a shower and brushes their teeth and eats something and, you know, goes to work. And yeah, it's not like some kind of goddess or god or whatever that's sitting there. It's just someone that wants to get to know you and wants to see if you're the right person for them. So like, take a deep breath and try to relax as good as you can. But I noticed that if people feel more secure in themselves, they can also be more honest, and in that way they do relax more and they do get more of a connection with the person sitting in front of them. And just like you said, I haven't done that before, but I read up about it beforehand because I know that you guys wanted that. So,
and that is the best answer, because
definitely don't lie, don't pretend. No, I think it's just like makes you nervous and just no, please be honest. I hate it when some like interview trainers say that, oh, you should really try to find those strengths. And well, maybe it doesn't really, you know, everyone's not really comfortable talking like that. So just be fact-based.
But sometimes, especially when you meet CTOs, then they can be very tough. And I had many CTOs that said to me like, oh, if you don't know this, you know, little detail, then you are not a senior developer. Or, you know, I remember I had one...
Have anyone said that to you?
Yes.
Oh my God. Lord, Jesus, why?
You should have been to all my... I had the
sounds
worst
like a Heschke technique also, I think.
Yes. God, I was so pissed off after that interview. I remember it to this day, but there's a lot of, you know, people that are not good at interviewing, and they can be pretty tough. And I don't really know why, but I think maybe it's because they are nervous, maybe. They want to come across as a good. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think that is the reason they do that.
Yeah.
But they can say like, oh, if you don't know this and this and that, then. But you know.
Then I would ask like, okay, why is that important? Just let me know, and I'll see if maybe I can do something else that is important for you, for this role. But like. That's also like, do you want to work with a person like that? Or
yeah, exactly.
That's
no.
my like first thing. And I know there is this like especially women coders that listen to this, or is it like
we have a mix.
Okay, but I want to actually say something to women coders specifically, because I've been in a lot of those interviews too, and I'm so sorry to say, but I feel like they think less. It's like sometimes like yeah, I know, you get all these interviews because you were a woman and people want to, you know, have women on their teams. So, I mean, that's a tough position to start from. But I would say, see it as a challenge, like I told you in the beginning. I said, okay, this is what you think of me. Well, and I'm not saying that everyone thinks something of you, but I find it in a lot of interviews that you don't get the same first respect like I did it when I was 24 and, you know, went around in different clients and they're like, what do you know about this? I kind of got that look all the time.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know what I know and no one can take that away from me. So just be firm and see it as a challenge to tell them what you know and what you can do.
Yeah. I think with that particular guy, it was a true mismatch of me wanting to oversell myself. He was this grumpy old guy who was like, who is this girl? Why are you even here? Stop talking to me.
Oh my God.
I think that's why I remember him so much.
Yeah. But it's a lesson learned for you too.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, if you do a bad interview, take that with you and you know, see why was it bad? What happened? What could I have done differently? Because I think it's not very clever to leave an interview and just, you know, oh, because the one that interviewed me wasn't very good and she or he didn't do a good job and blah-de-da. It's better to actually see yourself as the problem there.
Yeah. And
so like that next time you can...
It's always going to be these types of people. So you can see it as a type of person.
Yeah.
So how to, you know, that you should learn how to manage this type of person when that person comes, because he is going to come again in another shape or form. So.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying unfortunately. And, well, it's a bit of, I don't know if one should know how to handle a person. Maybe you should find someone else instead.
Yeah.
I don't know
if
think like living a life where you have to handle someone who doesn't treat you with respect. I don't know. I get a little bit allergic to things like that.
There are
so
there are
many.
Exactly. That guy has other matches.
He does. And you had other matches too, right?
Of course.
So that's what I mean. Like, I know that maybe you want and really need a gig or whatever, but you're not there only to be judged by them. You're also there with your glasses on to see if this is the right thing for me. I mean, we spend most of our days at our work or working with the things we work with. So, I mean, be a little critical. You can't see everyone through pink, fluffy glasses. But do I really want to work here? Am I getting a good vibe? Like, you're also there to interview them. Like, how do you work with your consultants? Like, are we like a part of the rest of the crew? I had like weird gigs where the consultants weren't allowed to sit and eat in the same room as the employees. Yeah. So weird things out there. But so like ask questions. How does it work? Like, do we come to your Christmas parties or whatever? Like, what kind of place is it that I'm going to work at for maybe 1, 2, 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, there are two sides of the coin,
so
to speak.
Yes.
God, it just feels like...
What time is it? I don't even know how long I've been...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I can talk forever about this topic. But we're also going to talk a bit about your company, if we have the time. So... I mean, quickly, can you tell us about Removement?
Sure.
You do now?
Removement, Removement came from a lot of climate anxiety, honestly. And this is sounds a bit personal, but my water broke at a Fridays for Future march at Medborgarplatsen. Mm. I got wet from upside down. Me and my mom and my son was there. And it kind of, I was there, so obviously I care about the climate, but it kind of tipped me over to the place where I need to work with this. I need to wake up in the morning and do something and go to bed at night and have done something. So I started manifesting that, and out of thin air, 3 months later, I met with Mike, one of the co-founders, and then Linus and Anders, and we started talking, and they had this like initial idea, and we started building on that and building on that and building on that. And we realized there are no platforms for carbon capture and storage that are not in planting trees and avoiding emissions. So so now we have a like full service for that and clients and everything, but we are looking to be, you know, much, much more. So we're raising money at the moment.
So you're raising your first money?
Yes.
Okay, so you haven't hired any developers yet?
No, but we are going to hire developers.
Yeah, you're going to be an expert. You're like, I see through everyone.
No, more like, I want to see everyone, I'd say. Mm. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, the time is almost up, but I just want to ask like quick questions for everyone that's listening.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your best advice if I'm going to interview, like the three top advice?
Know thyself. Be yourself and don't lie.
Great. Great tips. Like, to get to know yourself, do you think you should ask maybe the person that interviewed, like, what did you think about me, or like what?
I don't.
Or is that too sensitive?
I rarely see an opportunity for that in an interview. It would be great, but people are very afraid of conflict, and I don't think you'd get the honest answer.
Maybe you could as an agent.
I always ask afterwards. That's a different thing. So I give the feedback, but during the interview or afterwards, I don't think that the person could actually face to face be honest with you.
It's like going on a date and say, "What did you think about me?"
Yeah. No, but I mean, just study yourself like you would anything else.
Yeah.
Because then you can answer any question.
Yeah,
also.
And be prepared. Yeah. Seems to be your...
Yeah, yeah, be prepared.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's my know thyself. Be prepared.
Great. I have one last question. Mm-hmm. Also, maybe do you have some advice to the interviewers? So if you are, you know, a head of development or something like that, that maybe you don't like to interview people, you have your classical questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, actually I have. And it's actually kind of the same as the one being interviewed. Start wide and find yourself down to real examples. So if you want to know how someone works in a team, you should ask them, like, tell me about how you worked in a team. That's a very broad question, right? So you can get anything from that. Well, I worked like this and that. Okay, what was your role in the team? Okay, what did that, you know, mean, like work-wise? Or tell me about a project where you did this, and where you took command, or, you know, it depends on what you get, what answer you get. So you keep taking it down, so that you, at the end, you've had the whole journey from beginning to end. And like, don't just ask questions like, tell me about us. Can you give me a strength? And someone says, yeah, I'm social. Okay. You should really ask, what does that mean for you? Oh, it means that I'm good at talking. Okay. And then how do you think it actually comes in handy when you work? Has it opened any doors for you that hadn't been open otherwise? How does it help you in your everyday task that you have? Or, you know, so make the person give you examples on why they consider themselves to have a certain strength. So, what strengths do you have? I'm structured. Okay, in what way are you structured? How do you work structured? How does that help you in your job? Have you ever gotten feedback on how you're structured? And just like, don't stop asking how or why or when.
All right, thank you, Cosette, so much for coming. It was great to have you here, and I really love this talk. It feels like it just flew by.
Thank you so much for having me. And I have to say, I feel the same way. It was really like time just went away, and it was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. WeTel Talks is created by WeTel, a coding community with thousands of developers. In our app, you can find your next career opportunity or join tech conversations. See you next time.